112 For the Living. I am certain there are nine unmade. There are many legends and names that I could have misinterpreted, conflating two unmade into one. In the next section, I will discuss my theories on this. From Hesse's Mythica, page 266. Kaladin remembered a woman's kiss. Tara had been special. The dark-eyed daughter of an assistant quartermaster, she had grown up helping with her father's work. Though she was 100% Alethi, she preferred dresses of an old-fashioned Thalen style, which had an apron-like front with straps over the shoulders and skirts that ended right below the knee. She'd wear a buttoned shirt underneath, often in a bright color, brighter than most dark eyes could afford. Tara knew how to squeeze the most out of her spheres. That day, Kaladin had been sitting on a stump, shirt off, sweating. The evening was growing cold as the sun set, and he basked in the last warmth. His spear resting across his lap, he toyed with a rock of white, brown, and black, alternating colors. The warmth from the sun was mirrored as someone warm hugged him from behind, wrapping her arms across his chest. Kaladin rested a calloused hand on Tara's smooth one, drinking in her scent of starched uniforms, new leather, and other clean things. "You're done early," he said. "I thought there were green vines to outfit today."
"I have the new girl doing the rest."
"I'm surprised. I know how much you like this part."
"Storms," she said, slipping around in front of him. "They get so embarrassed when you measure them." "Hold on, kid. I'm not making a pass at you because I'm putting a measuring tape up against your chest. I swear."
She lifted his spear, looking it over with a critical eye, testing the balance.
"I wish you'd let me requisition a new one for you."
"I like that one. Took me forever to find one long enough." She peered along the length of the weapon to make sure it was straight. She would never trust it, as she hadn't personally requisitioned it for him. She wore green today, under a brown skirt, her black hair tied back in a tail. Slightly plump, with a round face and firm build, Tara's beauty was a subtle thing, like an uncut gemstone. The more you saw of it, the more you discovered of its natural facets, the more you loved it, until one day it struck you that you'd never known anything as wonderful. "Any young boys among the green vines?" Kaladin asked, standing up and pocketing Tien's stone.
"I didn't notice."
He grunted, waving to Gaul, one of the other squad leaders. "You know I like to watch for kids who might need a little extra looking out for."
"I know, but I was busy. We got a caravan from Kolinar today."
She leaned close to him.
"There was real flour in one of the packages. I traded in some favors. You know I've been wanting you to try some of my father's Thalen bread? I thought maybe we'd fix it tonight."
"Your father hates me."
"He's coming around. Besides, he loves anyone who compliments his bread."
"I have evening practice."
"You just got done practicing."
"I just got done warming up." He looked to her, then grimaced. "I organized the evening practice, Tara. I can't just skip it. Besides, I thought you were going to be busy all evening. Maybe tomorrow? Lunch?"
He kissed her on the cheek and reclaimed his spear. He'd taken only a step away when she spoke.
"I'm leaving, Cal," she said from behind.
He stumbled over his own feet, then spun about.
"What?" "I'm transferring," she said. "They offered me a scribe's job in Morn's vault, with the High Prince's house. It's a good opportunity, particularly for someone like me."
"But," he gaped, "leaving?"
"I wanted to tell you over dinner, not out here in the cold. It's something I have to do. Father's getting older. He's worried he'll end up being shipped to the Shattered Plains. If I can get work, he can join me."
Kaladin put a hand to his head. She couldn't just leave, could she? Tara walked over, stood on the tips of her toes, and kissed him lightly on the lips.
"Could you not go?" he asked.
She shook her head. Maybe I could get a transfer, he said, to the High Prince's standing house guard.
Would you do that?
No, he wouldn't. Not while he carried that stone in his pocket, not while the memory of his brother dying was fresh in his mind. Not while light-eyed high lords got boys killed in petty fights.
Oh, Cal,
she whispered, then squeezed his arm.
Maybe someday you'll learn how to be there for the living, not just for the dead.
After she left, he got two letters from her talking about her life in Morn's vault. He had paid someone to read them to him. He never sent responses. Because he was stupid. Because he didn't understand. Because men make mistakes when they're young and angry. Because she had been right. Kaladin shouldered his harpoon, leading his companions through the strange forest. They'd flown part of the way, but needed to conserve what little stormlight they had left. So they'd spent the last 2 days hiking. Trees and more trees, lifespren floating among them, the occasional bobbing souls of fish. Sil kept saying they were lucky they hadn't encountered any angerspren or other predators. To her, this forest was strangely silent, strangely empty. The jungle-style trees had given way to taller, more statuesque ones, with deep crimson trunks and limbs like burnt red crystals that, at the ends, burst into small collections of minerals. The rugged obsidian landscape was full of deep valleys and endless towering hills. Kaladin was beginning to worry that, despite the motionless sun to provide an unerring way to gauge their heading, they were going in the wrong direction.
"Storms, bridge boy," Adolin said, hiking up the incline after him. "Maybe a break?"
"At the top," Kaladin said. Without stormlight, Shallan trailed farthest behind, pattern at her side. Exhaustion spren circled in the air above like large chickens. Though she tried to push herself, she wasn't a soldier, and often was the biggest limitation to their pace. Of course, without her map-making skills and memory of Thalen City's exact location, they probably wouldn't have any idea which way to go. Fortunately, there was no sign of pursuit. Still, Kaladin couldn't help worrying that they were moving too slowly. Be there, Tara had told him, for the living. He urged them up this hillside, past a section of broken ground where the obsidian had fractured like layers of creme that hadn't hardened properly. Worry pulled him forward, step after relentless step. He had to get to the Oathgate. He would not fail like he had in Kolinar. A single glowing wind spren burst alight next to him as he reached the top of the hill. Cresting it, he found himself overlooking a sea of souls. Thousands upon thousands of candle flames bobbed about in the next valley over, moving above a grand ocean of glass beads. Thalen City. Adolin joined him, then finally Shallan and the three spren. Shallan sighed and settled to the ground, coughing softly from the effort of the climb. Amid the sea of lights were two towering spren, much like the ones they'd seen in Kolinar. One sparkled a multitude of colors, while the other shimmered an oily black. Both stood tall, holding spears as long as a building, the sentries of the Oathgate. And they didn't look corrupted. Beneath them, the device itself manifested as a large stone platform with a wide, sweeping white bridge running over the beads and to the shore. That bridge was guarded by an entire army of enemy spren, hundreds, perhaps thousands, strong.